If you have your Bible, let's look in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. I would encourage you, if you have time open on Wednesday evening, to come and join with us in a time of prayer, the real time of blessing. It's time of just opening your heart and soul up to the Lord and praying for those that need prayer. We all need prayer, but there are some that have special needs, and we tend to focus on that because God loves them and cares for them, and we love them and we care for them. Reading from verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to approve him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a great train, with camels, and bare spices, and very much gold, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that bought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of almucrees and precious stones. And the king made of the almucrees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almucrees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. I'd like to read a passage that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm just going to read the 42nd verse. Verse 41 says basically the same thing. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And that 41st verse tells us that the men of Nineveh shall rise up in that day. You know, this sets before us something that I think should encourage each of our hearts. We haven't made a bad move when we turned our faces toward God, I assure you. When you have accepted and honored the person of God's Son, and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you made a very wise move. Isn't it wonderful to have that enlightenment that comes from heaven and says, this is a choice you should make? And oh, it can be so real. This is a choice you should make. Like many choices in life, some of them can be foolish. But this is a wise choice. I don't know how much the Queen Sheba and the men of Nineveh had to do in the way of adjusting their thinking about Solomon. I'll ask you a question. How did you feel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before you trusted Him as your Savior? Some of us bow our heads in shame. I didn't think much about Him. I didn't put much thought in what He did. Well, what do you think about Him now? I think He's wonderful. I think He should occupy the preeminent place in the mind of every human being that has ever lived on the face of the earth. He is the unspeakable gift of God. It's a wonderful experience when you discover that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come on a mission to rescue, to redeem poor sinners out of that condition of being lost and separated from God. He found you, He found me, if you know Him this morning. What a change takes place in your whole concept of Him once you trust Him. He can be ho-hum if you don't know Him. But you won't ever say ho-hum again once you get to know Him. God forbid. He is worthy of praise and worship. He is God manifest in flesh. You know, in thinking about Queen of Sheba and thinking about men of Nineveh, you know, Jonah was that errant prophet that didn't go on the mission that God sent him on, went galloping off down to Joppa and got on a boat and started running away from God. Running away from what he was commissioned to do. He didn't go to Nineveh. He didn't go and preach God's message to them. He was finally convinced to go. You know the story. What a wonderful thing took place in their lives. Before Jonah got there, they were condemned. God was going to destroy Nineveh. Ultimately, He did, 100 years later. But a message came to them. Flee from the wrath that is to come. Trust God. And be relieved of that message of judgment and wrath of God falling upon you here in Nineveh. And they did. And they did. From the king, the highest one on the throne, right down to the lowest servant. They repented, and they trusted God, and they were delivered from the judgment that was to come. I don't know what the condition of heart was of the queen before she came to Solomon. She came a great distance, though. What she had heard excited her about this man Solomon. I imagine some of the stories she heard. Man, you haven't seen anything yet. This is Broadway, this is Vegas, this is all of them wrapped up in one. And they still just fall away into insignificance when you see Solomon and his glory. You've just heard about him. Wait until you see him. And you witness for yourself what you've been heard. You've heard about him. You know, I would have to say this at this point, but until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you just don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. Or words like these that came from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they didn't, did they? They didn't know that hanging upon a cross suspended above the earth, being offered up as a sacrifice for our sin,
the sinless Son of God was making payment for the penalty of our sin. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, others might have been willing to do that, but they didn't qualify. You see, this is God manifest in flesh. This is the sinless Son of God. He's the only one that can take that place of providing that which will satisfy God as a payment for sin. He can make that payment for sin that you and I face without him. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God forever. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, what a wonderful experience it is to believe God and to accept the sacrifice that was upon the cross. And until you do that, you just don't know what it's all about. You see, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we belong to God. I'm a child of God. I've been born again into the family of God. I have spiritual life. I have physical life, but I have spiritual life. May we have it in abundance in all of its power. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Apostle Paul is to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know what that means? It means let the Spirit of God that indwells you control you. Control your mind, thinking, the way you think. Believe the Word of God. Read it. Read the Word of God. This is the book that we have that instructs us on how to behave ourselves in the course of living down here on the face of the earth. How'd you like that statement she made after she had arrived and after she witnessed what Solomon was all about? She said, they didn't tell me the half of it. Man, they didn't tell me the half of it. You know, she journeyed quite a way from down in Sheba. I picture it as a caravan, camels, animals, with all of the things that she brought for Solomon. There were thieves, robbers, getting out on the caravan paths was sometimes a dangerous undertaking. You could like the fellow that had to depend upon a good Samaritan to minister to him, you might get robbed, beaten up. You might lose your life. But her interest was so strong. Her desire to know Solomon was so strong. I don't think anything could get in the way. I am going to find out what Solomon is all about for myself. Again, the reason I say that, God has children. He doesn't have any grandchildren. If you ever get saved, you will personally receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, as a personal Savior. He's a personal Savior. You have to personalize this. You have to accept Him personally. It's an experience in accepting what God has offered as a sacrifice for our sin. All of the value that was accomplished there upon the cross, it is put to my account. Isn't that nice? I'll tell you, that's sweet. Oh, that's so sweet to the soul. My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. What I found in God's wonderful salvation, man, is over and beyond anything I can think of. Never experienced anything like it in all my life. Like trusting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Lord and as your Savior. She was overwhelmed by this experience of coming to Solomon. The fame of Solomon. The fame of Solomon. Evidently, he was pretty notorious for what he had, what he could do. The wisdom of Solomon. You notice she had a lot of questions? Well, she had a lot of questions. I think that's common among women, isn't it? Have a lot of questions. Boy, I got a list here. I'm going to find out what he knows. She wasn't disappointed. You know, as we read this, it said that Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. You'd be impressed if you met someone and they could answer every question you asked them about anything you could think of. You know, that was one smart guy. That was a hard question. I asked him questions about things I didn't even understand myself. He had the answer. All of her questions. His fame. It hadn't been overestimated. It hadn't been overplayed. He was everything that she had ever been told and more. And more. And that's why I say to you, you know, this business about knowing God and coming to Christ, it is special. But you have to experience it for yourself. You can tell people about it. Some people say that getting saved is not an experience in which you feel any difference. That's not true. That's not true. Man, if you don't receive a relief from the burden of your sin, I don't know. Where did it go? Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Man, that oppressive weight of my sin and the guilt that I felt before God, all of that fear of ever meeting God in my sin, it was relieved. What a relief. What a relief. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Brother, he just made us fit for God's presence. That's what he did. You know, Paul put it this way, we're already seen as seated in heavenly places in Christ. How do you like that? Already there, brother, sister, in the mind and wishes of God, the desire of God, we're already there, seated in heavenly places in Christ. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. It's an eternal salvation. It's an eternal blessing from God. And what God gives, I'm telling you, it's special. It's special. Well, I made mention of the fact that the curiosity of this dear lady, it was perfectly satisfied when she finally met Solomon. She told him all her questions, and he gave her the right answers, and she was satisfied. You know, when you think about Solomon, and I don't know how much you remember him, but the things about him that kind of puzzle you, said he had 300 wives, and 700 concubines. They don't last. A lady asked me one time, you think he believed in birth control? With all those wives, how many sons and daughters did he have? This man with all this wisdom, with all of this power that he possessed. I don't know, but any ideas he had, I believe they were right. Because I believe God had his hand upon this man. That wisdom that he had, it came from God. It's like a believer that is told, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But by his Spirit. You know, a lot of times we don't realize all that is ours in Christ. We were told, you know, before we got saved, oh, you need to get saved. It's a wonderful experience. And you could, in your own experience, go back and say, brother, you didn't tell me half of it. You didn't tell me half of it. It's wonderful. Well, there's something else that comes out of this. And it's this, that this woman wanted to present a tribute that was worthy of all that this man represented to her. You know, we read through that account of what she brought. She had gold, she had silver, she had precious stone. Must have had a fortune with her. She had a high opinion of this man. Just what she had heard had impressed her. And I don't think she brought all she had, but I'm telling you, I believe she brought something worthy of all that he represented. He in turn would respond. He in turn would bestow upon her some gifts that bespeak of that spirit that was in Solomon. He was a man that represented God and acted like he belonged to God. He knew the God that he had trusted. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. Oh, those gifts that they exchanged. I'd like to make just one comparison. Is there anything that we can give God comparable to what he has given to us? No. I'll answer quick. No. 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 But I tell you what I can do. I can give what I got. I can give what I got. You say, what does he want from me? He wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice unto him. That's well pleasing to him. He wants you to give of yourself for him. He wants your new life that you have in Christ Jesus. The one that has borne the penalty of your sin. The one that has enriched your life. He wants you to give of yourself. He wants all of you. Somebody has a silly notion, you know, from time to time that I just have a little bit of the Spirit of God in me. No way. He is a total person, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes in, all of him comes in, into your heart and soul. Problem is, you say, we're not deeply concerned about him coming in a partial type situation. Problem is, we have problems with ourselves, allowing him to fill us and to guide and direct us, to take control. God wants to take control of our lives, brothers and sisters. God wants to be in control. The gift that he has given to us. No, there's nothing we have that's comparable to what he has given to us. He has given to us eternal life. He's given that to us, which that we couldn't have it any other way. That's the way our God deals with those that he has created and are lost, dead in trespasses and sin. I know one thing, the queen, she received from Solomon all her desires. Can you think of anything right now that God hasn't given to you that you'd like to have? I trust you're thinking about spiritual things. No, he hasn't given you that mansion. No, he hasn't given you whatever it is comes to mind. But are you satisfied with what he has given to you spiritually? He has given to you eternal life. He's changed you into a new creature in Christ Jesus. He has spread abroad in your life, in your soul, the love of God. Can you think of anything else you'd like to have from God? You have his unspeakable gift, the Son of God, living and dwelling in you. I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What kind of be afforded in your life and in my life? Does we have the mind of Christ? Do we let his wisdom control what we do in life, the decisions we make? It must be according and in keeping with what the Word of God says. Are we satisfied with what God has given to us? Anything you want to add? Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desires.
Lady, you're here, they could say. If you have a desire in your heart, just tell him. And he can deliver. There's nothing you can ask for that he can't deliver. Well, I tell you one thing he couldn't deliver. With all of his power and with all of his wisdom, he couldn't forgive her sins. The God we deal with is the God that can forgive sins. He's the only one that has the sacrificial lamb. He's the one that has the Lamb of God. Remember what Abraham said to his son Isaac as they were going up on the mount? And Isaac said, Father, I know we've got wood here and we've got fire and we've got everything. But where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, Son, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And that's what God has done in the world today. And that's something that Solomon couldn't do. He could not forgive her sins. Oh, he gave her so much. He impressed her so that she would cry out, the half have not been told. But he couldn't forgive her sin. He couldn't be to her what God wants to be to us. He couldn't be to her what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been to us. He just couldn't do it. Great man, great wisdom, great wealth. He's just one. Just one that can give you all the desires of your heart and more. I'm so thankful that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. It's not multiple choice. He is the only way. There are no options. She wasn't going to see a lot of kings. She just came to see Solomon. When it comes to salvation, you've got to come to him. You've got to come to the foot of the cross. Does it bother you that people today are trying to circumvent the cross? I'm going to heaven, but I don't like that cross. I don't like all of that bloodshed. I don't like all of that talk about sacrifice. Let's go around the cross. Let's put that over here. No. I am the way, the truth, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission for sin. And you know, the vital point in all of this is that Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, had to come to Solomon before she could have the blessing. Before all these things could become a reality, she had to come. She had to come. That's what we keep telling people. Come unto him, all you that are burdened and heavy laden. He will give you rest. He will give you something you have never had before. It's a new life in Christ. That's what he'll give to you. The world can't give it to you. Your mom, your daddy can't give it to you. Your husband, your wife can't give it. No one can give it to you. Queen of Sheba wanted to see Solomon. You want to see God. I'm telling you this morning, as we gather here, and we're living in a country that I trust every one of us love our country, and we're good citizens. I trust you pray for those that are in authority over us, because the scripture says, pray for those that are in authority over you that we might live quiet and peaceable lives. Man, that's good enough reason, isn't it? You want a quiet life? You want a peaceful life? Pray for those that are in authority over you that they'll get it to you. I know they take taxes, but you're praying that God sovereignly, as a nation, that we'll have people from the top to the bottom that will be those that take note of our need and let us live quiet and peaceable lives. I'm so thankful this morning we could gather here with an open Bible and we could read the Word of God. And there's no policeman out there waiting for us. There's nobody out there going to throw rocks at us when we go out the door. Aren't you thankful for that? There's a lot of places today, there are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll cost them their lives today because they take a stand and say, yes, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
There are places when people get saved by the grace of God and they go into the waters of baptism. They are marked out. Get him. Get her. Get them. That one thing. We'll have a baptismal service here next Sunday. And it identifies you with the person of Christ. You died with him. You have to be buried. He was buried in a tomb. He arose from the dead. That's a gospel message. Christ died. He was buried and he was resurrected from the dead. And you come up out of those waters of baptism and you say, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, this is portraying for us what took place when we received Christ being baptized. And there are some people today that they pay a high price for taking that stand. Usually baptismal services are, as we observe them, are a time of rejoicing. And everybody's happy because somebody's been saved. We heard this morning, 40 of those kids, boys and girls, were saved up at camp. We prayed in our prayer room this morning that every one of them would grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that they'll be baptized. They'll take a stand. They will identify with the person of Christ. Not ashamed of him. Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Pray for holy boldness. And pray. You know, as I thought about it this morning, we thought about the Queen of Sheba and how far she traveled. All the expense that was involved in her making that trip to see Solomon. There are people that wouldn't walk across the street to hear the gospel. Right here in Durham. Maybe on this street. I don't know. We're living in a day and time in which you preach the gospel. Billy Graham preached the gospel to thousands, maybe millions of people. Thank God for that. But there are still millions out there that haven't trusted Christ. And that is our job. That's our responsibility, to tell them about the Lord Jesus. Some of them, as I said, wouldn't walk across the street to hear the gospel. They're preaching a message that will tell you how to be saved and know all your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, no doubt about it. Not interesting. Not interesting. Well, one day the Queen of Sheba will stand in judgment, she'd say. That man was a fool. That woman was a fool. The men in Nineveh will stand in judgment. There they stand. They said, he saved me. I'm on the right side of the line. I got off the broad road. I went by the narrow way. And it led straight into heaven. With the forgiveness of all my sins. And there they stand in judgment. Their very presence there tells you that God can be trusted. And God is real. And every one of us in this room this morning that know him will be standing there in Christ. Standing there in Christ. You might look out there and you'll see somebody you witnessed to. You prayed for them. You did everything you could to get them to change their mind and just bow the knee and accept Christ. They wouldn't do it. They look and see you. What do you think they'll say? They won't say anything. Because they know. They know! That they've been deceived. That the God of this world that blinds the minds of those who will not believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They know they played the fool. And now the judgment of God. Eternal separation from God. You know somebody like that? Let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for them this morning. You have somebody that you know. To God, you mention that name as we bow and close in prayer. And you say, Lord, give them one more chance. Let me speak to them one more time. Let me tell them about your love and your grace. Let's do that right now. Every head bowed, that name that you have in your heart. Mention it to God. Oh, God in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, one day all of us will stand before God. Oh, I'm so thankful that you provided a Savior, and we have a standing in Him. But we know those, Lord. We know someone. We love them. We care for them. We would to God that they in deep repentance and godly sorrow turn to the Lord Jesus and accept Him. Right now, they heard the gospel, Lord. Oh, by your Spirit, convince them, convict them of their sin and righteousness and judgment, Lord. Bring them to our Savior, we pray, in His holy name. Amen. The service is over with a hymn.